You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/radio3. To participate in the chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. Each day, we compress and upload the day's chat, be it big or small. Leave a quick message, do a whole show. All are welcome when it's related to fakeology. Now, on with today's audio. You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hi, I'm Chad from Northern California.
We are controlling transmission.
Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
And hi, everyone. You are listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com. And we are Friday, the 10th of May, at least for me, and it's 11 p.m. So it's almost the 11th of May. So I will be your host, kind of, tonight, Garris. I think most people that will be listening to this already know my voice, but I think it's good to make a new introduction, kind of, for each and every one of the call I will record on the Friday. So my surname is Garris. I am a 34 was last week. This week I'm 35-year-old male living in Geneva, Switzerland, and I try to host Different audio shows, especially on Friday, because Saturday is my off day at work mostly. And this week I wanted to talk about health and have some kind of a general discussion about health. Maybe with some other people, if anyone care to come and give me his input or her input. But I'm ready to go solo tonight for quite a long time. I think I can stand about an hour with the subject of health, which is quite a deep subject, and to be honest, when you start to research something that you want to learn about your health, maybe you are feeling ill or something like that, you will lost a great deal of time searching through BS, through things that has no interest for your health, to be honest. And the second thing I want to say is that there is no miracle cure, I think. There is some kind of adjustment that you could make that can really, really influence your life. That's true. And most of the change you can make is about the food that you put into your body. So, I think that if we speak about health, we are obligated to speak about food. Because that's a big part of the health. And there is many, many things to be learned on the internet about health. But it's very, very difficult to sort through the information that you will come across, because most of the things that you will read or hear or even see, they will be detrimental to you in some kind of way. So get to be careful and really choose the method that suits you better to enhance your quality of life, kind of. So health is a very, very big subject. And like I said, it's going on with food, but also medication, because that's not my case. I don't take any daily medication. The only medication I take is the occasional morphine shot they give me at the ER when I have a kidney stone, because that's a thing I have on regular. I don't know if anyone hearing me now can understand what is a kidney stone, but it's a special kind of pain. But anyway, the thing that I wanted to make a point about is that I don't take any medication, so that didn't really concern me, and I will be really hard-pressed to say anything on the case of people that take medication daily, because as I said, that's not my case, so I don't know nothing about the long-term effect of any kind of medication. I can give you some personal example, but it will be difficult without giving you too much context, and that's something I am not ready to do right now. So the thing is that medication is a big part, food is a big part, and the air we breathe. The air we breathe is really important also, but the thing is that that's the one point that you have almost absolutely no control over. Meaning, except if you want to sleep, take a shower, and even get on top of your wife or your man or whoever you're sleeping with. Maybe the other person get on top of you, I don't care, but even that, you will have to do that with the help of a mask, because we'll breathe the air every time. So, the air, I'm sorry, I have a bad cough. It is really interesting when we are speaking about health, because we are also conscious about ourselves, but even still, I did have a cough, I still smoke right now as I am speaking to you. So, go figure what we are really conscious about or not. So yes, the air that we are breathing is something that we have totally no control over, and people will want to have you believe that they are spraying some things in the atmosphere. That's not a theory I am subscribing to, because the simple fact is that, like I said, you have no control over the air you're breathing, so that means that people in the know, people in control, will breathe the same air as you and me. Air that is supposedly polluted from above. So I don't give much credit to this theory. I am open to discussion of this on the subject, because of course, like with everything, you can at least engage on that and try to reinforce your opinion, or maybe see the things in a totally different way. But I tend to not believe that there is anything in the air except the usual pollutants or chemical substance that that is supposed to be there. That is another subject. I don't want to go too much into the chemical books, because that is not something I am really comfortable speaking about. Just because I stopped at school way too early to have even the basic notion of mathematics, physics, and chemistry to even think that what I would say even matter. So I will not go into the chemical aspect of the air and everything, but the thing is that there is those three factors, I think, that we can isolate, and also the exercise that you are taking, but that's kind of irrelevant if you want, because if you are eating bad food and eating exercise, it's not good anyway, and if you are eating good food and having no exercise, you can still be a pretty fit person to the occidental standard, at least. And so I think that those are the three things that we can isolate easily and see that they have a big influence in person health. So it will be food, the air, and the medication. But I tend to believe that not that many people take medication daily. At least I hope so. So I don't really know about the medication. So let's talk about food, because food is a big subject. Everyone will have this big theory and tell you that this is good, that is not good, that... I don't know about that. I just know that people can survive on a really, really bad diet for a very, very long time. You can have people that live in their 60s now with the medicine and anti-diabetes and all those kind of medication. People can live way longer with a very, very bad diet. So the human body is really great in the sense that it can sustain an absolute crap. You can eat whatever you want and still be kind of functioning. Of course, it will not be optimal. Of course, you will sometimes have a kind of a headache and feel dizzy or even depressed or whatever. Sorry about that, I was thirsty. Yes, so I was saying that the human body can sustain on a very horrible diet. That's a fact. So, I mean to say that the spectrum that you can choose to... The wide spectrum that you can eat different food is really interesting, meaning that you can eat a totally horrible diet and live and eat a great healthy diet and still catch a disease or something like that. So it's really interesting. So I think that there is some kind of key things that you should avoid, and I think almost everybody agrees that a diet that is high on sugar is not good for anyone. I think we will be very, very hard-pressed to find anyone in the dark corner of the interwebs that will tell us that eating a diet consisting mostly of sugar is a good thing. I don't think there is any lunatic on YouTube or whatever that will tell you that it's healthy to eat a mostly sugar diet. So That is the first thing that we can isolate and say that it's detrimental to the human health. And I think it's a subject that is really, really related to fecology. Because firstly, and that's something that I heard, to be honest, Alex Jones saying on one of his wacky commercial that was playing on his show at the time. And he said, you can fight the revolution if you are fat, tired, and obese. And, that's a good point, to be honest. That's a great point. Not that I want to sell you any supplement or advise you on anything about your health. It's just a general talk. But the point being that an overweight person will not be as efficient as another person. And also, if you look at the big pictures in society, it's very detrimental to have fat people, to have unhealthy people. So sugar is one thing that will make you fat and have diabetes and all that. But not all sugar, of course. If you can eat a diet consistently of mostly of fruit and meat. I know people that do some kind of things like that, some kind of diet like that. And they are very well. They are very well, to be honest. You will not find them getting cold every winter or so or something like that. So the sugar that is contained in fruit is clearly good, at least as long as you don't eat like 3 kilos of banana or something like that in the morning. So the big thing is the refined food, obviously. The people I've heard this week, the people I engage with, and just beyond this week, just in my regular life, I want to say the 35 and a week years I live in this world, I noticed that the refined food is horrible, that the only way to really control what you are eating, I think that all people that are intelligent enough to figure that the world is a big farce, if the world make any sense, in English it's joke, farce, but I think it exists in English anyway. So if people are awake enough to realize that the world is a big, big, big theater stage, they will of course see that the only way to really, really control what you are eating is prepare it yourself with ingredient as natural as you can have, food as less processed as possible, and there is many aspects about that, and something I think is really interesting also. I didn't do any research on the subject. It's just something that was always on the corner of my mind. Is that we eat castrated animals? That's something that really, really, really always bothered me. Why should I want to eat castrated animals? What kind of things is released in the body of this animal that is better to eat it when it's castrated? You know, it's really strange. You will not find many castrated animals in the wild. If you follow my point. So it's really strange. I clearly understand that it's almost impossible to eat a pig if he was not castrated at a young age, I think. But don't you think it's really strange to eat a castrated animal? Don't you think it's really crazy to do such a thing to an animal? And even the pet owners that listen to me right now, don't you think it's really cruel to have your dog castrated or... How do they say it? That there is a nice and warm term that is not as shocking as castrated. It's neutered. Yes, that is the word I was looking for. Neutered. You don't really know the what the word means except that it means castrated. But I don't know if it has another meaning. But it, at least there is a... Or fixed. Oh, you can say you fixed your dog. Like the dog has a problem. Because he's functioning like a normal animal. So that's really, really, really interesting. We eat castrated animals. We inflict this kind of pain on animals that we supposedly love. And that are member of the family also. I can tell you that my mother is almost persuaded that her cat is my brother, sort of. But she is castrated. No, I am not castrated. I can tell you that. And I am almost 100% positive that none of my two brothers are castrated also. So it's really strange. It's really, really strange. Eating castrated animal. Just take a second to think about that. And eating baby animals also. It's really, really, really strange. And you would have think that a modern world will have figured something less deviant if I can say. Or maybe it's a, maybe it's all in purpose. Maybe it's a, kind of a big dark ritual that we are all participating in without knowing it. Will be very well be the case. We are all participating in a dark occult ritual as we are making hamburgers. Hamburgers made of castrated animals and an old cow that will not produce milk because they are too old. And people will tell you that they will not eat horses because horses are a noble animal and everything. It's ridiculous. Ridiculous. Why treat one animal horribly and refuse to eat the other one? And to be honest, I eat meat. I love to eat meat. I eat meat almost on a daily basis, and not almost. I eat meat every day, I think. Really, I eat meat every day. So if I eat meat, I eat fish. And if maybe 10 days in a year, I will eat cheese instead of meat or fish. But I am also participating in this horrible system, and I'm not trying to shame anybody or be the moral judge or what is good or not. It's just that any sane human being will come to the conclusion that it's really strange to eat animal that we are castrated. But who knows? Maybe it's better. Maybe I am wrong. Maybe it's a great thing. Maybe castration in the big picture is a great thing. Who knows? Who knows anything about like the transgender people long-term health problem? No? Because that's something also that we have to consider, that to do all this procedure on people on the health level, it will be complicated in the end. Because aging is a bitch. I am only 35 and I can tell you that aging is a bitch. When it starts, it starts. So if I had many surgical procedures in my, how can I say that? Reproductive organs. How will that age, you know? I know that you're supposed to have kind of a hip replacement every 30 years or so, maybe even less. I don't really know, but I know anyway that if your hips is replaced, you're supposed to re-replace them to a certain time. So is it the same thing for testicular prosthesis or something like that? Prosthetics? So that's also a big question. The long-term health of the people that get all this surgical procedure. I will now take 30 seconds and I will be back.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support. In my dreams, I have a plan.
If I we interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hey folks, Alex Jones here, but I'm not scaring the pants off you trying to get you to buy some storable food or some seed. I'm listening to Fakeologist Radio. Listen now at Fakeologist.com today.
That was Alex Jones, and thank him very much for this wonderful bumper. So, I did go mute for a second, just to bring a drink to my girlfriend. Because that's something that is very, very beneficial to your health. Be good and nice to those around you. Be good and not be a happy idiot, of course not, but be nice, be good, be there when you can, and be always supportive of the people that that are around you. Use them to be better, and it will only help you. And maybe when people see that we're always there for them, they will listen more closely when you bring the big subjects, like 9/11, or is the world flat, or whatever is the subject that you want to bring to people. Maybe be kind and nice to them, and be a good presence in a person's life is a good way to introduce what you may want to introduce to those around you. Like I said, it can only be beneficial to your health. I think being a cranky, angry at the world person is not beneficial for anyone. It's not good for you. It's not good for those around you. So I think it's a very, very, very big point if you want to stay healthy, is to be kind of a happy person. Not an happy idiot. Doesn't mean that one should stop questioning anything, but be a nice person. Very important for you, for your health also. It's like being clean. Those are the things that you have some control over. What you eat, even the clothes that you are wearing, and the way you introduce yourself to people. There is a lot to be said about that also. That is not that much related to fakeology, so it's back on track, as this is not a show that is there to speak about anything else than fakeology in the end. So, we'll say that there is a lot things that are hidden about the human health. There is a lot of things that people will not tell you. And there is a lot to be said about what is in food, what is in the drink, what is in everything. I remember one day that I was at a female friend of mine house, and she had this cotton candy machine. Cotton candy, I think that's the good term. And as I am an inquisitive person, I start to reading the ingredient and the sugar. And there was this colorant, red one. I don't remember the number exactly, because it makes no sense at the time. But anyway, it was written that this colorant might end up causing hyperactivity on children. Imagine that. You start to having your kids running around because you give them cotton candy in all good faith, because you think it was a good idea. So, another thing I wanted to speak about, because that is a thing I also seen in the ingredients of many things that we consume, at least here in Switzerland. Maybe someone can tell me that it's different in another part of the world, but it's a complicated world. At least to me, it's phenylalanine. Phenylalanine. And that's something that is really, really interesting, because if you start to read the ingredients in the many things that I have access to, that is written that there is a source of this particular chemical, phenylalanine. So, phenylalanine can cause intellectual disabilities, brain damage, seizure, and other problems in people with PKU. It is a genetic disorder. Phenylalanine occurs naturally in many protein-rich foods such as milk, eggs, and meat. Phenylalanine is also sold as a dietary supplement. The natural artificial, I'm sorry, not natural in everything it is, the artificial sweetener aspartam, called NutraSweet, which is added to many medications, diet food, and diet soda, contain phenylalanine. So, it's a very, very bad thing. Very, very, very. So, D-L-phenylalanine may cause symptoms of anxiety, jitterness, and hyperactivity in children. Doses higher than 5,000 milligrams a day may be toxic and can cause nerve damage. I don't imagine the intake of sodas and processed food you should have to even have this amount. So, I don't think it's really relevant. But anyway, it's a bad thing. It's a very, very bad thing. It's an amino acid. But it's not a good one if you have too much, or if it's refined or anything like that. And there is a lot to be said about those additives, those things that we found in food. This is not an additive, to be clear. But it's the same thing. The point is that certain things should not be in certain food. And if the things was as they were always supposed to be, it will be very, very easier to have a healthy diet. Start feeling the good effect of the nutrition that you have. And people will tell you that eating less is better. I will not believe in that. I will be sad if I was eating less. And I am, to be honest, not really a fat person. I probably weigh right now about 185 to 190 at most. And I am 5'9". Yes, I am 1 meter 78 centimeter, and I weigh about 83 to 88, 89 kilograms, I think so. I will have to weigh myself one of those days to be sure, but anyway, I don't consider myself too much fat, those kind of body build, but I don't think that being skinny is being more happy, like they want you to believe that being fat is a good thing. Also, no, I think the happiness is in the middle, kind of. Have a strong body, can sustain some intense effort, but not being too fat, as in being totally out of breath in 5 minutes of continuous effort. I think that would be a mistake, to be too fat. That's also something that the media will know if you believe, because they have to adjust. It's like they can have a big portion of the population totally unhappy about themselves and all the mental health problem that coexist with the bad health and being too fat and something like that. So, as I see it, it's clear that they want you to accept. Fat acceptance is a big thing these days. People are getting more heavier and heavier in movies, and some of those things, they want you to believe that it's a good thing, that there is no problem about that. I just saw the Avenger movies with my girlfriend the other night, and it was a fat character. It makes for a good joke and in the start, but in the end, everybody was accepting it, and I had a problem with the fact that the guy is clearly so depressed that he's all physical appearance changes. And they will have you believe that it's not that important. And I think that people in the deep corner of their soul, they know what is an healthy-looking person. They know that supermodel is not the real thing to follow. And they also know that Michael Moore, because that's the first fat person I can think of that is widely known. Michael Moore is not also the example to follow. So there is something between those two people, those two type of people that can exist, and that is the thing, the more healthy way of being, but that's not true for anyone. People are skinny and people are bigger, but I tend to believe that the people that are too skinny, it's not a body type, to be honest. Not that I think. I don't really think it's a body type. Most of the people just lack something, you know? They lack chemicals, some minerals, some vitamins, something. They miss something. And that's why they cannot process the food the normal way. They end up too skinny. But of course, it's not a generalization. You can find skinny people that are way better shape and way, way better off physically than I am. Because as I mentioned, I am a victim of a series of kidney stones in the last few years. And that's something I start to investigate in the last few months. Find a way to get rid of those without having to go to the ER each time. Because it's a pain, to be honest, just to evacuate those things. And also, a big thing that is also happening daily in all the hospitals in the civilized world, if you pardon me the expression, is that they will give you very, very strong medication, very strong opiates, and who knows how you will end up with those, you know? You can make a bad reaction, you can make a good reaction, and want more. Want way more. Daily. No, hourly. So, I am not a big proponent of medication. They will not tell you anything about the medication they give you. They will want to have you believe that it's good, but they don't really know. And if you take any kind of medication, whichever you want, I dare you to find me a medication that a doctor I've prescribed you that has not a list of side effects that is really, really scary. There is no one. They will not tell you that much, you know? It's like coming back to bite them in the ass, if you believe the official story, like 20 years later. Most of the victims are already dead or don't have a relative to care about that. Or they have relatives that care about that, have the money to front for the lawyer or something like that. So, thing is, they will give you almost anything and see how you react. Test some things on a very, very limited panel of individual and say it's okay. Because I remember one thing also as a child, was that every time I get to go to the doctor with my mom or my dad at the time, the thing was that there was always all those toys, desk equipment, some pencils, some pencil sharpener, some eraser, whatever you want was always a kind of drug company logo on it, like Merck, Sanofi. It was not Sanofi at the time, but that's the first name I thought of. But Merck, yes, all those companies that produce Novartis and all those companies that produce the medication, they kind of sponsorized the whole office of the poor guys. So why will they do any investigation on specific medication and all that? And plus, yet also to take the fact in consideration that at the time the doctors did not have access to the internet. It was all on books. And who was sponsorized the books? Huh? It was like a doctor office. The same people that painted the doctor office and put all those posters and all this merchandising on his office. And even some kind of kids merchandising, because I think it's the same in all the world. You have those, all those cold medication company that that give these teddy bears to kids and something like that. So even the kids were not protected with that. But what I mean to say is that it's clear that the doctor was bogged off at the start. Because if he was reading the book that was subsidized by the drug company, what is the book going to tell him? Give me more drugs, that he really don't know anything about the side effects, to be honest. So maybe he will have a kid that came up with a eyes screwed or something like that, or developing some kind of nerve disease or anything like that, but will he even make the connection? I am not sure that he will, doctor, in the end. And will he, even if he did make the connection, what can he do himself? Just write to the doctor association? I don't even know what the big drug company have put in those offices, because we don't really get to go to those offices. So that is a big thing that I remember seeing as a child. And of course, when you're a child, you think it's nice because there's all this colorful and beautiful thing. And in the end, the doctor even give you a candy, and you are lucky if you don't get a shot. Firstly, and it's good because mostly when you go to the doctor, you miss a day of school. So it's always kind of good if you are not too sick. Of course, if you are cancer, child with a leukemia and something like that, going to the doctor can be an awful experience, I suppose. But that's a wild guess. I don't know nothing about those kind of very, very bad diseases. So I remember that as a kid, there was all this, all those sponsorized stuff. Doctor, clearly, for me at least, when I was a child, the doctor that get access to my body, yes, my body, that's the right way to put it, that can put whatever they think was good in my body at the time. Those doctors were clearly paid by drug company. So it's a rigged game in the beginning. So clearly we cannot believe those people. Because they kind of established that, at least in my view, they almost know nothing about what they are giving to children even. So if we cannot believe the medical professional, we get to start way, way, way before that, you know. Get to go look at for yourself. You can do for your own health. And food is the first thing. You get no control on. And medication, they don't know, so you get to avoid medication. So logic will have you go to the grandma recipe, kind of. You know, like I was mentioning to Laura Mars on a private discussion that we had, I had a kind of a bad case of cough and sneezing and kind of a cold, which is crazy because we are in May and I'm not supposed to catch cold in May in Geneva. That's a whole another subject. So I did catch a cold and I tried to do something that I saw an old Afghan guy I knew at the time did, and it was to eat a raw onion. Not a full raw onion, at least. The most that you can chew and swallow before it gets really, really disgusting. Because it's not the most pleasant thing to eat a raw onion without anything. But the thing is that it was supposed to cure me, and I do feel better. Can I correlate that with the eating of a raw onion? I cannot be sure. But I think I'm well off eating a raw onion than taking off kind of medication. That will make think my body think something totally wrong, like that. Yes, it's like they want to numb your pain signal. That's not necessarily always a good thing. I mean, if you get a...
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hi, I'm Nightly News from Central Queensland, Australia, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Yes, that was Nightly News. I love his avatar on the Discord server. It's a kind of night, obviously. And I am not sure, but every time I see his avatar, I think it's something taken from a Monty Python Holy Grail movie. And I will ask him one day. If I ever run across him on the server, I will ask him that. Maybe I will even private message this when this audio is over. Just to know, because I am almost sure that his avatar is that. But anyway, I think, yeah, I think sometimes if you get an open fracture on your leg, I will not tell you to not take any medication. It's like for a kidney stone. They give you some ketamine, some morphine, all those wonderful stuff. You feel like shit for 3 days, and it's over. You can go back to work, ready to go. So I'm not totally against those hardcore medication. I think that those plants were put on Earth for a reason, like everything. There is a sense to it. I'm sorry, I'm about to cough. So clearly the onion was not enough. Maybe I should chew another one. So, as I was saying, numbing the pain in some case can be good, but that's not the solution. It's something ridiculous they want you to believe. But I think medication in itself is a big, 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 big hoax. I think there is not that many medication that you can rely on to do the work that you want them to do. I think mostly it's willpower. Willpower will get you through almost anything. Of course, of course. It will not get you through crazy infection or snake bite or anything like that. There is many things that you can cure with your own will, with your own willpower. People with a lot of people in the circle will tell you that cancer is mostly a product of your mind. It is not that much a cellular problem or some cell gone rogue. It's more a psychological disease. That's an interesting point, because popular science will have you believe also that ulcer in the stomach, ulceration, I think that's the term in English of the stomach, will come because too much stress, as this is the case for hypertension, blood pressure. So, it's clear that the mind has a great effect on the body. I am sure of that. I am persuaded of that. Oh, and I see that I am speaking alone for a good 45 minutes. It's good. Very good. A lot of things to say, and I hope that it's not the rambling of a madman, and somehow it makes sense in the end. So I will go on for about 15 minutes and take a small break, try to see if there is anything else to be said, and kiss my beautiful wife-to-be, and I have to sleep well, because it's almost midnight. It will be in 15 minutes, and I will make this nice break that I think I need, because I kind of rambling on the subject right now. But yeah, there is a lot to be said about media fakery in the subject of health, particularly in the vaccine subject, and I don't want to go too deep on the vaccine subject, because there is some people that will tell you a lot more than me on the Fakeologist server. And when I say that, I think especially about Roro, that had a lot to say about vaccine, and I think he already did quite some times in Fakeologist radio, or even on the Fart podcast that I had the chance to participate on this morning. And I get to say that this guy, those guys are kind of a dynamic. Great dynamic. You should listen to the Fart podcast. I don't know if it's out yet. I don't think so, because it will be posted on the Discord server, but as soon as it's out, listen to it, because those guys know what they are talking about. They are really, really, really have a great flow of thought and, what can I say, a good understanding of each other, and they kind of nice enough to sometimes participate twice to give me the floor and bring some subjects that I want to bring. They were nice enough to let me advertise this talk that I am having with you, figuratively, right now. So thanks again to the Fart guys, Roro, Veloset, the Esoteric and the crew, and if we are at the moment that we say thanks to everyone, let's say thanks to Fakeologist again for a great platform he put out. Platform where anyone is welcome if they are open enough to discussion. And I am open to discussions. I think I will hang out there for a long time and a great, great discussion with lots of you guys. And yes, I think that it's great to have this platform. So let's enjoy it and participate. Get this place more alive than it is already. Let's try to keep the infighting and the fact that we are not believing in all the same things aside. And try to evaluate on what we agree on. That's why I picked the elf subject. Elf is really a great subject. It can, who doesn't want a better elf? I think it will be hard to find infighting in the elf community. I'm sure there is, because there always is, but like I said, nobody will tell you that eating more sugar is good for you. Nobody is stupid enough to want you to believe that. At least I don't think so. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe somebody will post on the Discord server on fake or on fakeologist.com a series of video of crazy guy, skinny guy, at that weigh like 65 kilo and will tell you that eating raw sugar is the best thing you can do. But of course, if you have access to raw sugar, not raffinated, it's almost better. I remember that one time they had there is this big supermarket channel in Switzerland. There is two of them, but one of them used to sell this biological cane sugar. Not refined, not anything. It was crazy. It was a brown powder with a very, 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 very deep smell and taste. And I get to say that if you put three teaspoons of this sugar in water, it's almost like you have a tea or a good drink, a good sugary drink with a very, very great taste. And, it was nothing like sugar I ever tasted. And, they discontinued that, at least as far as I know, because I did not find it in my shop that was on my street, and I cannot forget about it, and I just think right now about, just remember it right now. But there is a lot to be said about sugar also, because the white sugar, the crystal sugar that we have is obviously not a good thing to put in your body in great quantity, but different sugar, you can maybe take a lot more into your body and still be well off with your health. I think that's possible. But they will not tell you that. They will not tell you that. They will tell you some stupid things about exercising your body to death and putting too much tension on your joint or some stupid things like that. They will want you to believe that doing CrossFit is the way to go. And I don't really think. I used to think, at least until really, really recently, that it was the way to go. But some people here and on other places and some people in my personal life also kind of taught me better. It's completely ridiculous to put too much strain on your body just for the sake of being healthier. Makes no sense, in fact, when you really start to think about it. It's clear that you can supplement your exercise, like you can supplement your diet, but going the way the media will tell you of fitness fanatics and all that, it's not a way to go. It's like they will tell you to run in the city. It's a wonderful thing. Yes, try to run on concrete for a few years. Yes. I think you knew we love that. Even with the best running shoes, I think that doing this kind of stupid city running that you can see on the media every day is the worst thing that you can do for your knees. Totally ridiculous. If you have a good patch of grass or something like that. I used to run on a soccer field, football field for my European listeners, if there is any. So, I used to run on a football field. Because one thing, it's a good way to know exactly where you are. Because you measure the lap that you are doing. And also it's soft. Way better for your legs. It's way softer than running on concrete. And I remember that the way to go to the pitch was all concrete. So I did get out, at first I did get out of my house running like a stupid. And, running on the concrete and running back on concrete when I get back to my house at the time. And not my house. Nobody owns a really house in Switzerland, to my apartment, to be more clear. But when I was running back to my apartment, I really felt the difference of running on some good patch of grass or something really good for your joint, but there's not too much stress on your legs and your knees and ligament and all that. And I see the difference between that and running on concrete and really have your legs sore and feeling unwell and feeling great an impact on your leg. I think it's ridiculous. I don't really know about the treadmill, to be honest, because I never in my life run in the treadmill. So that would be an experience. Maybe one day I will go with a friend of mine to his G-Club and try to... But I don't know about that. I just know that this stupid movement of running in concrete on concrete is one of the worst things that I think anyone could do to his legs. But hey, I'm not a doctor. And the doctor don't know anyway, as I established earlier. So believe what the experience tell you. Do what you want to do and see in the end how it works for you. But from my experience, media will tell you all kind of things about your health. This is absolutely not true. And will have you think that some things are better than the other. It's completely false. And medication that are put out every year, some of them are really, really, really crazy stuff. It's like in the psychiatric field, they give medication to people they don't even know really what they will do, what that will. And they told it to the people, they are honest about that, to be fair. I'm really honest. They tell you, we give you that for like 3 or 4 weeks, and then if you don't work, we give you something else. So in the end, there is no clear procedure on how to treat a mental patient. So people, some kind of substance that will in the end impair their brain functioning. How can you get well, better in your life if your brain is not functioning as it's supposed to be? No? Of course, you can have some neurological disease that make you act crazy. I can say nothing about that, but I don't think that being depressed or being angry or something like that require any medication. Yeah, we'll have you believe that in the end. They will tell you that there is no stigma to the fact of popping pills every day. Nothing about that. Like in a brand new world, a gram a day of soma keep the bad thoughts away or something like that. The book I've only read in French, so people that know the book will know what I am talking about. There was in this dystopian future of these drugs supposed to solve most of the problem people have in their daily life. And yes, that's something that that is common in the occidental world, at least. Depression, medication, and anxiolytic. All those things, all those crazy things. They used to, when I was younger, I will not go too much into the specific of how I came to know that, but they used to give those pills called the Dormicum, like they were Smarties. Well, you get sleep, we give you those, no problem. The thing is that junkies love it. They love it if you go to the junkie spot in Geneva with those pills. Can make some quick money, really easy. It's not something that I will recommend, and it's not something that you will find in the travel guide. But if you ever come up to be in Geneva and out of money, remember that I say that on this audio call. But anyway, that's not the point, and that was a stupid joke. But what I want to say is that those pills used to be given away to people like they were nothing, and when they become to be popular, they don't give it that easy to people anymore. It's like a certain profile of people will not have access to those. So they know. So they know what they are doing, clearly. It's like they know that they don't know. It's like throwing something at the wall and see what sticks. So I think it's the case for many, many things, like food additive and many, many, many things like that we don't really know about. And we are coming quickly, quicker than I thought, at the top of the hour. I am really happy to have the chance to record this hour alone. It was great to have space to explain what I think on health. And I will listen back to it when and if psychologists decide to publish it as is, because it's kind of short. But anyway, it was great to have a way to explain myself on health. And I think that people, I hope that people will listen to it and come back to me. Engage me on some of the things I said and maybe correct me, because I am sure that I say so many stupid things in the time of the hour. But it's my honest opinion on health, not my complete opinion on everything regarding health, but at least my honest opinion on health. And I know that people will hear it and think that it's irrelevant, but... I think that I made some great points. I think many, many other things I said were outlandish, but some of them are really correct. So if I can say one thing, say stay away from medication, at least as long as you can, as long as you are not strapped to to an hospital bed, and it's not pills, but a syringe that they are coming at you with. So try to stay off medications, try to eat not too much, but eat what you want. Make yourself be happy about eating. Make yourself be happy about everything in life, but eating is a big part. Try to not eat too much, but make every meal count. Because if not, what is the point of living anyway? So you will soon, in about a minute and a half here, the top of the hour bumper by Fakeologist. And that's when I am about to leave you, at least for the moment. Because that was my intention, to record an hour if I was to be alone. Because I wanted something to be put out like every Friday. That is my point. So it's a kind of a call to everybody listening. Come talk to me every Friday, and we can even set up another hour, because it's the one that is convenient for me in Central European time. But it might not be the case for anyone, so contact me. I am there, and I will find the time to speak to anyone on almost anything, because I don't want to talk about some subjects. I'm like everybody. But I am there, and many people are there, many people with great knowledge, many people with a great mind to pick, and people, yes, great people, great man, fake again, fakeologists to make all this possible. And if I don't come back in a little time with kind of another intervenant, I will say to anyone, have a good night, have a great life, and stay safe.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
We accept the reality of the world with which we're presented. It's as simple as that.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hi, this is Yesarian, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Yes. What's up, buddy?
Yes.
How's it going? Live action? Hello?
Hi, I'm doing fine.
Hey.
So, good. I am still Jerry's from Geneva, Switzerland, and we are back from a quick 10-minute break with Ballyhoo, formerly known as the Phoenician. If I am
now, I'm back to... Now I'm re-Phoenician. I'm the Phoenician all over again.
Re-Phoenician.
Yeah, yeah, like, so make sure everybody knows that.
They are back. The Phoenicians are back.
Yes.
Okay.
So what have you been up to today?
Oh, I've been up to great things. I did the fart podcast just earlier on the day. Then I spent some time with a friend that was ill. And now my girlfriend is finally asleep, so...
And what time is it your time?
It's just midnight, past 10 minutes. Yes.
Yeah. We've had a pretty nice day today.
Yes, it was the first... At first it was not good, but it was better in the end. At least the weather, I mean.
Yeah, we've had a couple cool days here lately.
Mm-hmm.
So, and yeah, I think summer's getting ready to kick in.
And I was going on for quite an hour, almost... solo about the elf, about the thing that I think was important on the elf spectrum, like I kind of identified three things that I think was really, really important for the elf. The first was food. Of course, the food is really important. The second one was the air. The air that we breathe is really important also. And the third one was all the medication that people are taking.
Yes. Probably the water is pretty high on the list there, as far as, you know, the earth. Homeostasis and, yeah, medication is changing a lot. I mean, there's so many new medications so quickly on the market that there's so much competition. You just can't hardly keep up with the different conditions and the way they're treated. But I think people maybe are moving back towards using food to be the medicine. So I certainly am. I think you probably are too, right? You try to let your food be your medicine?
To be honest, I try to have food that makes me happy. And I don't mean to say that it's or sugar or anything. Like I said on the previous hour, I eat mostly, I like to eat meat. That's my thing. I eat meat on almost, to be honest, my diet is like that. I don't eat nothing. Like I wake up, I go to work, I don't eat nothing. I don't eat in the middle of the day. I go to my day without eating. And I eat a big meal at night. Like at 8 or 9 o'clock p.m., I eat a big meal, and that's it. Maybe I eat something after, like 2 or 3 hours after, and then I stop totally eating. And like I said, I am about 5'9", and I weigh about 185-190 pounds, without any type of exercise.
Well, you sound like you're a big dude. You said, like, I was just joking with you earlier. You sound like you're 6'5 and like 300 pounds of solid muscle. But yeah, I'm like 5'11, 6 foot. Yeah, probably weigh about 190 right now, 194. So I've lost about 10 pounds in the last few months, getting more exercise. And then my health is getting much better just over the last few months. So. Yeah, food is so important. There's so many different fads to fall victim to, but there are also trends to get into that actually push past the fad stage and get you into more of a balanced diet. I don't think there's anything wrong with trying something like an all-meat diet or an all-vegetable diet as long as you don't feel like it's going to be the end-all, be-all. And it may for some people. The one thing I forgot, I was going to make some notes, and I was serious about the things that I put into Discord. This is the Phoenician again, Arif Phoenician. We're on fakeologistradio.com. So today I put in some ideas, but the other thing that's actually interesting is using a diet that's based on your blood type. And I keep forgetting to look into that. I need to talk to Salty about that. He's so wise. I think that he could probably dispel any myths about it or extract any value that's in that.
Of course. But I think one of the big factors in food is happiness. And not meaning that you're supposed to feel ecstatic after eating, but you're supposed to feel good. You're supposed to feel happy. Like everything you do in life, if you do something like going to work, if you go to work already cursing the world and be unhappy, your day will be awful. It's like with everything. If you take the food that you want to eat, and of course, if you don't eat an all sugar diet, I think you're good health-wise, you know? It's just that if it makes you feel good, it's good for you. As long as you are not totally irresponsible people that want to eat all sugar or stupid things like that.
Yes, I used to have a really bad carbohydrate problem. I really was a carb addict. I was looking for that insulin spike. That's, you know, the problem, the insulin spike, and then having to reload on carbs again 20 minutes later. Do you find there's like a distinct period where you start to feel you crave it again, and then you 20 minutes later you're eating more carbs again? If that's happening, you could be setting yourself up for some long-term problems. But I mean, there's definitely some uses, big time uses for carbs. There was a girl I was talking to, she's a CrossFit coach, and she was running a marathon the next day, and I asked her if she carb loaded. I saw her at the coffee shop, and I said, are you going to carb load? And she said, yeah, probably. You know, she said, yeah, she's getting her minerals in and everything.
Yes, but I was speaking about CrossFit. I don't think it's much a good thing to exercise too much. You know, you got to go. Of course, CrossFit in itself is not bad, of course, but like doing too much exercise is not good for your body. You want to keep the machine alive and in a good condition, but you don't want to work it out too much if you are not a professional athlete, I think.
Right. Yeah. If you don't have a way to express it or use it or to a way to I guess, benefit from it financially, then at some point you're just trying to get healthy enough to be happy for whatever you do. If you're a day trader or you work in a factory or whatever, there's a certain amount of exercise that should be prescribed for that type of lifestyle. And then anything above that would actually be more of another type of addiction. You're just chasing your tail. I used to practice.
Of course.
Yeah, I used to play sports. I used to practice yoga and things. And this is like what's neat is because it's trying to really challenge me on agility, speed, even quickness,
there's obviously the conditioning, the eventual hypertrophy after this 2 or 3 month phase. I'm about a month in of this program. So in 3 months, I should start to notice some hypertrophy, some actual muscle changes, noticeable changes. I've already had fat loss. And so it's interesting, but I think at some point I'm probably going to take 3 months to do something completely different. I mean, I'm not going to run. I've always felt like running is just a trap. That's for the marathoners. That's for the Greeks and for the Africans, you know.
No. I think there is good point to running, but what I was saying earlier is that running on concrete is totally stupid.
Oh, yeah. Especially
but if you run on something soft, it's good for you, yeah. I think. But, yeah. Not too soft, right. Of course. But I would recommend is running on grass. That's the most natural thing you can do.
Yeah, they sell a lot of running shoes now that are just almost nothing. They're like they're just really flimsy. It's like being reconnected with the full strike. So your foot strike is you know back to the way it used to be if you can find the product that suits your foot. But there's a lot of different products out there. But you said you're in the military, so you ran in boots then. You know what it's like to like really pick up your feet like with heavy boots. That's probably pretty brutal. On your
shoulders. They totally destroy the back of my foot the first 3 weeks because I have bought some stupid socks, the less expensive I have could find, and I totally destroyed my feet. It was bloody, and they forbid me to wear the boots for a week and a half. Then the doctor came and said that if I did a few more days without the boots, I had to go home, and I so wanted not to go home. Not that I was happy there, but it was not an option to go home at the time, so I put on the boots, and yes, the boots are horrible, putting those big boots and walking around 16 to 17, 18 hours a day with those. It's very bad for your feet. You start to lose some toenails and it's crazy. It's awful.
Mm. What do they call that? It's a condition where your toenails start to rot. Jungle foot? there's another. There's some kind of name for it.
Yes, but the thing is that it's like everything in life. If you get the financial mean, you are not supposed to go through that because they give you those shoes. They call it a KS. It's an acronym for camp shoes, combat shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the really bad design. Those are crude leather. And when they are new, it can almost cut you the skin of your feet or your leg. It's so rough, you know. And when they give you that before the service, if you are wise enough to go get them. I was not, of course, but if you are wise enough to go get them, you can walk around with them before going to service, and your foot get acclimated. But it was not. But the story is that when they give you those big leather shoes, they tell you to boil them at first, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To even boil the shoes to fit them better. But you are not obligated to go through that. If you have the money, you can buy your own black shoes and work with those.
Yeah, so, it's like a baseball glove. It sounds like a baseball glove breaking in, so many different methods. You put a baseball in it and wrap it up, roll it over the car. I've left it outside before in the rain.
Old school. I just put my feet on the shoes and suffer for the first 2 months like crazy. Then it was over. My foot were okay with the shoes, and it was no problem. We walked.
I tried to get
on the mountain, and I had the shoes, and I had absolutely no problem in the end.
Wow, just gets tough. You get calloused, and yeah.
Yes, and when you are 20 years old, to be honest, you are a machine. You are almost indestructible. You can do 50 push-ups without a problem in the end.
Mm-hmm.
It's like there is almost nothing if you are trained enough, and we were.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hello, I'm Rachel. You're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
And I think that it's something that is really important to when you are about 20 to 25, undergo some kind of hard physical work, you know, kind of pack on some muscle. Because I remember at the start of the military service, I was a skinny boy, and 6 months later, I was muscled, I was good, I was very good. I was like 10 kilogram heavier and 10 good kilogram, not any gram of fat was added to my body. It was all muscle. So I think it's good for a man at least to have some kind of physical training or some kind, not too hardcore, but some kind of outdoor work or some kind of big physical activity to kind of get your man physique. And I think that's something that will be missed in the next generation if the world continue to work as it is. You will find something.
I do. Yeah, I recognize that. I think there's a lot of people that are just trusting that their vocation, especially as it is mainly part of a digital era, so they're on a computer or on a phone or mobile, yet not getting the exercise. But there's another class of people who are really focused on exercise only and probably are just working at whatever. So I think there's a dichotomy, I guess, in society. But I think the preponderance of the effect is on the millennials. So those that are just going to basically go along to get along with whatever everybody's doing. And eventually, yeah, somebody's going to have to pay for that. So the people, the older folks or the post-millennials, they're going to have to pay for their health when they get really bad posture. So posture is huge. That's the one thing that I put in the chat. His posture. So I'm dealing with it right now. I'm in horrible pain. I tried to get Laura to come on, but she's got an engagement with her mom or something she's doing tonight. But so I've got a problem probably in like the C3 area, my neck, and then I've got what's called a guarded shoulder. So my shoulder's drawn up, and that's my trap, the trapezius, Jairus. So it's pulled up, and I just as I was sitting here talking, I put my finger right on the front left clavicle and pushed in, and I've got pain there. So what's happening is I've got upper cross posture. So the left side is favoring, it's pulling, and it's what's called guarded shoulder. So it just means the shoulder's forward. It's not a symmetrical upper cross. Like if you've done too much push-ups or too much weightlifting, you've seen guys that are both shoulders are drawn forward. That's really harmful too. It causes a problem with scapular retraction. So you have to be able to pull your scapular area back down, just like a Marine would stand. So if you see guys that go through boot camp, they haven't been ruined by life or work or whatever. They actually stand pretty good in that picture. That's kind of ideal. But so my problem right now is in a unilateral upper cross posture. But yeah, I think if I can release my clavicle somehow tonight over on the other insertion, which is a AC joint, maybe I can get some damn relief. I'm tired of it. I had to take some ibuprofen, which I never do. So I finally took some ibuprofen out, and my pain went away last night. I had to work last night. So that was
Yes, posture is a big thing. I try, like I was speaking, I'm speaking almost for an hour and a half now. And for the first hour as I was speaking alone, you know, I was kind of crispated, if you want. So, pulled back on the table, smoking and all that. And now that there is someone else to pick up the conversation, I can see that I am more relaxed and my posture is way better, you know. I am not less forward. I am more shoulder way apart and on a good posture. Mm-hmm. So there is a lot to be said about mental state for the posture, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah, I told her, I says, I'm not going to let him just go alone. I wasn't sure where you're at. I thought maybe you were in 33, so I went there first. But yeah, I'm just glad I didn't want you to sit here and talk.
No, it's great because I want to record something every Friday if I can, just to make a date and bring some people like you, bring some people here and have good conversation on great subject, because you seem to know a lot more about your body than I do. What about you?
Well, I've had a lot of classes. Yeah, I've had classes on it in the university. I don't trust all of it, but you know, I've had some useful information. I've had pre-organic chemistry. I've had biochem. I've had anatomy, physiology at the 200 level. I've had microbiology. Oh, let's see, what else? Just a lot of what I was talking to with Salty the other night was coming back to me. Like, it's neat to have a conversation where he's, you know, bringing back some of that memory.
Yes, you two could have a more technical discussion than the one we are having right now. So that's clear.
He's a good dude. Yeah, I might end up going and seeing him sometime. Yeah, I invited, Original Cinema to come in, but I'm not sure he was in chat.
No, I don't think so, but it's kind of a difficult time. I will keep the day of Friday, of course, because it's more convenient for me, but I will be more flexible on the time. It's just like it's better for me because my girlfriend is going to sleep early, so 10 p.m. for me was wonderful. But I see that if I am more adaptable on the time, we will have more people to speak.
So what kind of music do you listen to for relaxation and healing and contemplation? Do you like music? Tell me about your tastes.
Music is more like a thing to be apart from the world, you know, to be somewhere else. Like if I don't take the scooter, if I go to work using transportation, music is more like a shield, you know, between me and the rest of society. But I want to be at peace or something, you know, when I walk in the forest or something like that. I don't listen to music. I don't like to. I like to listen to the sound of the nature. And I am one of those strange people that love the sound of the road, you know, the car passing by. I always love that. So I have a road just by my window, so it's great for me at night. I just open the window, hear the cars, and know that the world is still turning.
That's exactly what I used to do as a kid. I had a rough childhood, and I used to open the window, and sometimes I would go out on the roof and lay down. And but I would just normally, just in order to not get caught, I would open the roof or open the window just to hear that, just like as you stated, because it was probably at the time where I got my own room. So still a little bit insecure, but I was still still like enchanted by life. So I wasn't ready to just go to sleep. You know, like when you're a kid, we just don't want to go to sleep. You'd rather do something. So anyway, I could hear the cars going by. We lived right on a highway in a little town in Indiana. And it was just neat to hear the cars go by. I've lived all over. I've lived in a little town called Bowling Green, Kentucky, Bloomington, Indiana. I lived all over. But it's this area is really neat. It's not going to compare to Switzerland. You'd probably be bored pretty quickly, but it'd be nice for a visit. I think Laura lives in Ohio. I can't remember. I think she or is from there.
I think
We're not far. Probably about, I'm like 3 or 4 hours from Laura.
And you would say that it's not far. In Switzerland, it's like the opposite side of the country, just 3 or 4 hours.
I didn't know that. Well, and does it really take? It takes a lot longer than that, though, right? If it's through mountains and...
not that much. To be honest, most of the big cities are on the plains. You will not have to go through many mountains to go to another place of the country. And if you were to go through the mountains, there is some great tunnels. We were speaking about the opening ceremony of one of the tunnels, the Gotthard Tunnel. There was kind of a totally occult, crazy show with kind of a goat that was fornicating with another type of monster or people. It was a crazy thing. So there is some great tunnels network in the country for the few times that you will need to cross a mountain. But if you were, for example, to go to Geneva, from Geneva to Zurich, which are the two most important cities, you will not meet any mountain. You will just cross the plains, mostly.
Nice. I'd have to look at the map again. I'm going to look at the map.
But it's one of the smallest countries in the world.
Well, be darned. Like, I didn't know that.
They tell you that there is 8 million to 9 million people, but I will tell you that there is 1 or 2 good million more, because there is a lot of people in the gray area, if you want, you know, that will not go on the count, but they are there anyway.
I wonder if we could do our own population statistics. How could you estimate, like, how many people are there really? You know, what if there's only about 3.5 million people in the world? Wouldn't that be a trip? I mean, what if there's only 5 million people and land scarcity magic is like this, some kind of a way to desensitize us to the need for freedom somehow? I don't know. I've been thinking about that lately, and when I look at the statistics, I'm like, well, but that's the same thing. I always trust these statistics. I always look at Wikipedia first, and then I look at something else. Well, obviously, I go to the next place, and let's get some clarification. But everywhere, they're the same. That's pretty strange to me. Like, you know, it's always 7 million or whatever.
I think there is more people than we think that there are in the world. But that doesn't mean that there is a scarcity of resource, you know?
Right.
I think the world can handle all the people that are in it and even more. It's the thing is that you cannot really say that the land is that great because there is more most mountains and a place that you cannot settle in. But I think that if you take Patagonia, for example, if you were to build a country in itself in Patagonia, you can put many people there that live from the land, kind of.
Patagonia and Argentina and Chile.
Exactly.
Whereas,
yes, the bottom of the world.
Almost. I think you can go from the lowest place in the world to the biggest relief. That's an interesting point of fact there, a useless fact. I know all kinds of useless facts. I think at some point there you can go to the lowest place to the highest there off the coast of Chile, I think. Anyway, what's the mountain? What's the big mountain there? Can't remember.
But of course, it's a seismic risk region, I think, also almost of the because of the end mountains. But anyway, I think that there is a lot more people than we account for in the world because there is that
really?
Many country that yes, of course, there is many countries where you don't have a real count of people. But in the countryside, you have maybe twice or three times the people that they want to think that there is.
Because that could be exactly backwards.
Yes, but because mostly what they do in Europe to, or even in the USA to count people, it's a social security and a birth records, some kind of, no? I would believe.
Mm. Yeah.
And the thing is, in some places in Africa, I don't think there is that much of a birth record. I think now there is, but in the end, in the 80s or even in the early 90s, I don't think there is that many. And I can say that I speak about that from personal knowledge. Because I try to marry a woman from an African country, and it's very difficult to obtain any relevant paper regarding birth or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the point. I think there is many more people that we believe, but I don't think that it's a problem in terms of resource. At least,
what will happen with I wonder what's going to happen with the way we agricultural technology increases or changes so that it's automated. Like, could you imagine how much food and especially hemp? I mean, hemp is like really taking over old tobacco land in Kentucky, especially, but Colorado and wherever it's going to grow, Canada, it's going to be a big deal.
I mean, the kind of the weed one or the
low THC.
No THC.
Well, it's
the
same thing.
It's not the same. What can I say? It's not the same market in the end, you know.
Well, but it comes from the same field. So, like, if let's say like Kentucky's expertise becomes cannabis sativa L, and then it's focused on the end user as being someone who takes a tincture, then that might be great for Kentucky because it goes from table or from farm to tincture, farm to bottle, but Colorado or let's say Kansas or somewhere in the Great Plains when laws are changed or whatever, let's say that their end result is to get the product to an end user in manufacturing of prefab building products, then they might dominate that area or region with some massive farms that produce concrete with hemp in it, for instance, or rope, like get back into rope for shipping industry. So I think it depends on what the area is set up for and what the commerce and the logistics provide, depending on the road structures.
Yes, I think that there is more people in the world, but that doesn't mean that there might be a big population reduction in the coming years. That's possible, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the end, the problem is not the resource. The problem is people managing, I think. That's what we get to think about. If you have to manage more people, it's more difficult. So that's why the powers that be want to have you believe that there is too much people in the world. Because in the end, they want less people to control because now, like you say, with the automation and all that, there is not that much need for a big workforce. So maybe we will see a big population reduction in like 20 to 30 next years.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Of course, we won't be around long enough to really be able to back test our opinions or our knowledge of it. It's just a matter of having foresight and being able to communicate with our controllers, or, you know, these powers that implement the systems that we live in and work in. And any feedback we can give, or if they listen, see, that's the other thing. To what level are we actually subjugated? You know, so does our opinion matter? Do we even vote with our dollar? That's the other thing. You know, if everything we react to is predicted or planned, then the feedback loop is essentially negated, right? I mean, that's so we're just kind of caught in a trap, and we can't walk out, like Elvis said. Elvis.
Of course, we can not walk out, because in the end, you and I are the same. We got to work. We got so much thing that take us back. I came up on something really interesting on YouTube. It's a stupid thing, but it's interesting anyway. It was the dwarf from Jackass. I don't know if you know who I'm speaking about. The dwarf.
Yeah,
from Jackass.
Yeah, I remember him. Yeah.
Wee Man.
I can't think. Wee Man, yeah.
Supposedly, because of course it's probably not true, but it was interesting anyway. Supposedly the guy sold his house and all that he owned and buy a small van, but a nice one, and with all the equipment that you will need to live. And supposedly the guy now live in this great van that he just built at his need. Like everything is at his height and everything. And I think it was fascinating, because that's a great way of living in the end.
Yep.
If you get some money aside.
Yeah, I'd like to have a tiny house, maybe even on wheels. I don't know. I'm thinking maybe eventually get some land to basically park it, so you can get a tent pole, what they call tent pole here. So just an electric. Just throw some electric on the property, put a driveway in, be able to fasten it down with a lock so that someone can't just simply take your trailer. So I'm talking 14 by whatever, yes. 30. Sufficient for me, so, yes. You know, I just have my lady and my cat. Right.
Work all for the years. Put the truck on the field. And then the other half of the years, because you don't have that much money to put out because your house is so simple, you can travel, no?
Mm-hmm.
You just stop the contract for the water and electricity for the few months that you are away, and you go away. When you come back, you reactivate it all, and you are good to go. So that could be an option. I am really thinking about that these days.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Good morning, good day, good afternoon, whatever it is, wherever you are. My name is Velocet, in Australia. You're listening to the Fakeologist audio chat on Fakeologist.com.
So yes, also I think it will be great for the elf to have this kind of lifestyle, kind of see a different setting and kind of living more freely. I think that a big part of the elf problem of the modern man is the stress, the daily grind, the horrible life that we are supposed to live until we are old enough to be put into a retirement home where our children will not go to see us, you know?
Yeah, it's another lie. Retirement. Nobody retires. I mean, have you ever seen anybody retire? Ever? I don't know anybody that's retired. All I see is people.
Oh, I know people that are retired.
Oh, really?
But the thing is that, to be honest, like my grandfather, when I was a kid, he was supposed to be retired, but he take me to his other work every time I was with him, so he was not really retired. People at another time, like before, they don't like to retire really. Because what will they do? No, play online games. There is no online games at the time. There is no such things like all those. So you would more see people work into their 70s before. No, those people died from cancer or some kind of other disease, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's. I don't think people in America know what to do when they get past 60 years old. When they get to retirement age, they really start to just fold up like a cheap tent. And they just don't know what to do. They end up sitting on the couch and taking it easy. So that can be a major trap, a health trap. I've witnessed it firsthand.
Yes, and it's crazy when you think that most people hate their job and they do that for 30, 40 years, even more. Because if I have to start work at 18 years old, and work till I am 70, because I think that's the law right now in Switzerland. Imagine that.
There's a guy at CrossFit, I guarantee he's got to be 60 years old. And he's deadlifting stuff that I used to deadlift. I mean, it'll take me 3 or 4 months just to even get back to do cleaning presses and stuff like this guy's doing. But he's obviously been training in weightlifting, doing weightlifting classes, traditional weightlifting, like the Olympic sport. And but man, he's so bright and happy and cheerful. And if more people were like that, they'd probably get a lot of use out of their older age. But that's few and far between around here.
Yes, but the thing is that there is also the fact that supposedly when you are at this age, you're supposed to have grandchild and things to do. Society is changing, so people, family ties are getting less and less stronger, so people will end up more and more alone. That's also the point. When I was a child, when I was not with my parents, I was always with my grandfather, my grandmother. I was always with them. Always. I don't think that's the case in anymore, at least in Switzerland. But there is some different cultures also where they are more family-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also a part of the good health, being around your family. And that's something I said also, that being good to those around you is a big part of your health. Even physically, I think. Being good to people, being nice, not being an angry bastard that yell at any occasion you get. I think it's really important to have a good health.
Absolutely. It's critical. There is a bit of a problem with being healthy, though, when you're wide awake, when you're going through all this understanding of how things really work. And that's at some point, you have to get healthy. You have to stand up for yourself and your health. And it's pretty difficult sometimes because you start to leave the nest of your family and you leave the peer group. Like, I have no peers here, So if I told somebody exactly how the world works, at least in my opinion, it would blow their fucking mind. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't even dare do that. Maybe I should, I don't know. But maybe in a way, I could communicate some things to help people understand this or that, but I pretty much learned that the more I keep to myself, the more peace I have and the more I understand the problems in my life, the problems that I've caused through my poor choices, not necessarily because of anything I perceived, especially my controllers. These are just things that I could have avoided on my own. And then there's the pitfalls of cord cutting, disconnecting from the pseudo reality of the digital age. So then your interests and your connections change. So now I don't use social media, because I know it's fake, right? So InstaFake. I don't use InstaFake. I don't use Fakebook. Do you use Fakebook or InstaFake?
I have said that before, and I will say it again. I never used Facebook. Not because I am a great mind that know from the start that it was not good. Just because my ex-girlfriend at the time was on Facebook, and I wanted to stab somebody if I were to interact with her on Facebook and see her with guys and all that. We have gone totally crazy. So all the people around me started to use Facebook. I was totally rejecting it and never got down. You can find some pictures of me on Facebook, two or three of those, and it's a pain in the ass to get them removed. And,
I've tried. I'm sure there's still a few latent images.
There is also a YouTube video that me and a close friend of mine appeared on that I will want to have deleted. It's not like there is anything compromising. It's just that I did not want this to appear. But the thing is that even I cannot find the video anymore, so it's buried in the deep end of the web,
Mm-hmm.
There is probably something like 300 views, and that's it. But like I said, nothing compromising, just the fact that I don't want my face to appear on those sites. And if you type my real name in Google, you will end up with a soft porn actor, French guy. that used the same as his, alias.
No,
so,
there's no telling where my name is.
So the thing is that I am not really an online persona, if I want. But to be honest, to be really honest, maybe it's stupid to say that, but to be really honest, I've said enough things on these audios to for somebody wise to dox me really easy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care. Yep. To be honest, I don't care. I am a simple guy with a simple work, a simple life, and somebody wanted to dox me. I don't care. And I don't think anything I said is really outlandish or that controversial.
Right.
At least that makes sense for me. That's something. Most people, they will write many things in text, but when it's time to do an audio, you don't think that, people. And I praise you for that, for coming forward and take the time to speak live
on some
controversial subjects.
Hey, you realize that we're on a script, you know, though. I mean, this is what we're given. Every bit of information, every story, all the alternatives, you know, this is our life, Jairus. And we're speaking with a script that's been written before us. We can't react to anything in a way. You know, that's the weirdest thing about it. And it's good to be able to talk to people, you know.
Yes.
About it, even though we don't know the truth. And I'm not getting all Marcus Aurelius here. I mean, I think that, you know, we can strive for truth. I just don't think we'll ever know the truest truth. I know 9/11 is a lie. I could probably tell you detail, but, you know, it's fake, you know. Faker in hell, but it's... You know, there's so much more. There's so many other psyops and hoaxes that we may never figure out. And so, such is life.
Yes, but we know that we don't know. And we get some kind of view of the world, and share that with people is a great thing. At least that. That is something that is great. It's not like we are making a big difference or anything, but it's just that... We all came, I can say, from a kind of a similar background, and we all came through the same bullshit, if I can say, curse word. Yes, we through the same bullshit, to the same things that we were told by paid people that were probably put there to make us think a certain way. I can agree on that, but in the end, I think we kind of pierced the veil, kind of. And now we are, if you don't become too cynical, because that's a risk also, become too cynical and think that everything is fake and be a disenchanted poor guy. But I think that if you start to look enough closely at the world, you start to discern that when the fakery is there and when it's not.
Yeah, I mean, and there's a certain level of paranoia with the interacting. I saw a guy, an introduction of some genuine one, character, so I just claimed that I was him, just to control my own opposition. I mean, it's like I don't know if, you know, one day to the next there's going to be a shill come in and try to say I'm somebody I am or I ain't. You know what I mean? So there is a little bit of strategy to it. I'll probably get in trouble for that. I have to explain that to Ab.
I have to say that for the moment, and to be honest, I don't look at besides the people that will analyze fakeologists in details and all that, I don't really care that much of that. And for the moment, I have not been noticed of anything regarding me or something like that. So I think that it depends on what you are saying, and if you are an interesting character, people will attack you. But I think for the moment, at least for me, I can say that I am safe from any type of attack.
Yeah, maybe I am too interesting. Maybe I should just...
It's just because I don't care. It's like if someone were to tell you that he will do voodoo on you. If you don't believe in voodoo, what do you care? I don't care if people want to derail a conversation that I am having or something like that. In the end, it's their time like it's mine, and I choose to do that with my time. So whatever happens, I am ready for it. I think that's a good mindset. What do you think of that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so too. I think you just have to do your best to remain calm and carry on. No matter trolls you. You know, I've already been trolled in Discord by Mr. Shroom Boy. You know who you are, Shroom Boy. Whatever.
Yes,
you know.
It doesn't matter in the end, because I don't care. It's my life. I'm going to die someday. And
right.
I just keep on living. So.
Damn right.
And to be honest, if someone can make a good meal for his family by... by bullshitting me on the internet for a few hours. It's good with me. I'm okay with that. Make your money, my friend. Do you know what I mean? In the end, it's a virtuous cycle, and I don't think I am almost too old now to make my mindset change that much. So whatever. And I find that at least on Fakeologist, most people are genuine, and I don't think there is that many dishonest people. And most of the chat I participated in, they were great. They made sense.
Yeah, I look forward to chatting with more people. Ab seems to be a good guy. I talked to him the other day on that first audio. I trust him. I trust him kind of because he doesn't trust me. You know what I mean? He doesn't just take me for, he seems to be feeling me out, and I appreciate that. So I like that. You know, I can trust that. I don't trust anybody that trusts everybody in a way. You know what I mean? I think we have to be a little bit guarded. But for the most part, I think when we settle into the routine of understanding, what the research is, focus on that, because it's right there, guys. I mean, the research, girls, it's there for us to look at. We can figure out what we can. That's all we can do,
And to be honest, he's a great guy, because I came up on Fakeologist a few years back. I listened on and off, and I decided to participate in the Discord server, and look at me. Two months later, I am holding an audio chat quickly. And he let me do that without even telling me that this is not a good subject, that I should not say that without... So anyone can say whatever he wants about Fakeologist. Me, I just want to say that the guy is pro-free speech, and as long as he lets me do it, I think it's great. And I don't see why anyone could have a problem with a guy that would let you speak about what you want.
That's cool. Yeah, I can appreciate that. Maybe I'll do my own audios. No, that'd be fun.
Yes, why not?
Because just pick a subject, get some notes together, and people my age, they want to know what you got to say. You want to know the points of it. You want to hear what you need. What they want. That's it. Like, if you ask somebody, you need to ask exactly what you want. You'll get a better response. I've learned that through YouTube. Of course, I got my channel shut. Thanks a lot. Anyway, so I did learn that. That people, channels that I liked, they want to know. If you ask somebody a streamer, a question, you need to state exactly what you want, exactly what, stock you want to look at or whatever, and they'll respond to that. And that's really the mentality of young people today, because they have this shortened attention span. And I don't know if that's good or bad, but it's, you have to be able to adapt to young people like that. So I think that's something that's good about the audio chat, if it's done properly. Is that you can come in and state what you want to state, have a format that you can follow. I like it. I like these casual chats, but I also like to hear the chats that I've been looking at the last couple of weeks that seem to have a system. It's like a nice flow to it.
Yes, and it's like for the first hour I was speaking alone, and I stick mostly to the elf subject. But of course, now we are talking, we go into other subject, but in the end, it's all relating to health, to mental health, to how to evaluate in a society that we don't really understand, or that we understand too much.
So where is everybody tonight? I guess Laura's mom.
I don't think anyone is going to join us, because it's really about the time frame, And also, for the people that is Friday night, they also have a life. I am lucky that my girlfriend don't like to go that much.
Yeah, I got a text earlier, I don't know if you heard it, from a buddy that might go up to Louisville, Kentucky, from where I'm at, down in Bardstown. Go see what he wants to do this night. I don't know, maybe he's got plans, but I don't know, I'll probably just staying at home.
Exactly, so it's sometimes difficult to get a lot of people together. That's something I really appreciate about the Fart podcast, is that those guys, they are on the same time frame, so they can organize themselves to make kind of a weekly show.
Yeah, that'd be cool. We should do it. I don't know if I can come in every week, but I certainly wasn't going to let you just go it alone tonight.
Yes, of course, but in the end, the point is not that I don't think people are that much interested in hearing me ramble on a different subject alone every Friday. So that's why I want to adapt the hours to have as much people as possible. Of course, I don't want to be 12 on audio chat and speak over each other, but just have to have as many different input as I can have. Like you, it's great because you seem to know a lot about the human body, and that's something that can be discussed ad vitam aeternam, I think.
I say that again, that Latin part?
Ad vitam aeternam, like until we are dead, forever.
Until the, down here in Kentucky, we say, till the cows come home.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's something I mentioned also, is that the human body is wonderful. You can make it work on crap, on totally inept food, devoid of any nutritional value, and you can also eat salad and healthy things and fresh food every day. And in the end, both people will get to 60 in a good condition, almost.
And I think I'm just going to figure out what this body and this mind can do. I think that's what I've decided, Juris. Maybe not so much on physical accomplishment, this many reps or climbing this. I just want to see what my damn mind is capable of. You know what I mean? Where can I go with it? You know, what can I figure out? First thing, we learn to concentrate all over. I've certainly lost the ability to concentrate. I think it's part of just the distraction of all the stress. Reintegrate to society, the connection. So I think it's a challenge.
Yes, it's important to have a functional body, at least.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Once in a while, one of us wakes up. It's not supposed to happen, but it does.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
This is the Gulo. You're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Yes, and I can see that we were joined by Tripp. If you care to say a word.
Sure. All right. Hello.
Oh yeah, I'm just listening, guys.
Okay, no problem.
No problem. All right.
So
unless there's something, you know, I'm interested in talking about, then I'm like.
Okay, no problem. We'll keep on as we were. So the thing is that, like I said, the human body is wonderful. You can make it work on diesel, on. Super, unleaded fuel, whatever you want. Two-stroke, four-stroke. Almost anything can make the human body work. On a different level, of course, but almost any type of food can make a human body work.
Yeah, I think we're resilient. More resilient than our controllers realize, right? I mean, we can really take it. I think we get some options that, you know, arrive for us. Laura and I were talking, what was the diet she brought? Oh, fudge wells. There's like snack wells. Like there was trends. Oh man, the 80s, full of trends. Like it was the land of confusion. Remember the Genesis song? It's all in that video. I mean, really, it's all in that fucking. But right there, you know, that the 80s. If you were an American in the 80s, Jairus, and then you experienced September 11th, 2001, here as an American, I think your perspective would be a lot different. I mean, I appreciate the fact that. Care enough about your fellow man that, you know, you've researched it and you figured it out and you've been connected with an American, Tim, the Canadian. But man, it was really crazy and insane for a lot of people. So the 80s was like a priming system, you know, where we were introduced to all these options, everything that you could ever imagine, like so many fads. The 90s really slowed down big, especially in the music world. So we got into this alternative, you know. But the 80s, there's tons of diets. I mean, just ridiculous diet fads. If you look back at the 80s commercials, it's just laughable that people experienced that. Like, they ate it up. Like, they really loved it.
Oh, my parents did. My parents did fall for many of those fads, like you say. Mm-hmm. I'm sad to say that, but my parents, for example, bought into the whole Herbalife fad. If you know what
I think fads are a dying fad, I think, in a way. I think that there has to be, our controllers have to give us, like, some substance, surely, at some point, you know, more gradually. I don't know, but there seems to be a tiny more bit of substance in life, and even to a certain degree, even in films. I don't know what's happening to us, but a lot of the stuff I like, Gareth, it's a little spooky. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't know, it's like we're being conditioned in a way, on a different, in a different level. I'm not sure how to describe it.
It's like, no, you find your own conditioning. Mm-hmm. You look for it. Mm-hmm. You look it up, you know? Like mm-hmm. you were saying, you are driven to some things. So if you are kind of an investigative mind and you want to kind of go the deep end of things, of course you will start to look at 9/11. And of course the some of the answers that you will find are put there for you to find. Of course, it's clear.
Do you think they actually encourage us? Do you think they encourage us to find layers of the layer cake? Or do you think it's just for the few that are just brilliant enough or odd enough or maybe they have a condition of the mind? Or?
Oh, I don't think that I am that that brilliant enough to have found out this on my own and because I am a big, big mind and I'm more clever than the people around me that believe that a few Saudis with box cutters did that with planes, you know? I don't think that's it. That's just the hazard of life. And some people on the fakeologists will tell you that there is absolutely no hazard and no coincidence, but I believe that if you are of a certain mindset, the product is here for you to consume, kind of.
Yeah.
I think that's it. I think the meal for, if you want to use this image, the meal, they are all pre-prepared. And I think that I am eating cheesesteak because I love it, but it's just because cheesesteak is what I am drawn to. So it was put there for me.
Sounds like it's almost a free will versus a deterministic state of mind there. Whether or not the steak chose you or you chose the steak, Jairus. How deep a guy are you?
No, but I think that the point is that even if you know that they are not telling the truth, it's just that they don't care, you know? It's just that they can let a percentage of the population have access to some kind of truth on some level because they just don't care, you know? What will I do in the morning? I will take care of the usual business like we will do, and but that much will change, so we can speak about whatever we want. You know, there is not need to that much control. But if I were to try to organize some kind of things locally, you know, if I were to try to create a Discord server from Geneva like-minded people and try to have an organization and things like that, that would go very differently, I think. But as long as I am speaking with people from the USA and people in Colombia or whatever you want, I don't think they really care about that.
I think a lot of it has to do with personality. So what if our personality are prefabricated? Going back to mainly this Carl Jung or whatever, Jung, do you think maybe that Myers-Briggs test is actually faked? Like, is it, and is the media actually choosing personality types by choice? So that we can be controlled and compartmentalized? I mean, or is that something?
Do
you think it's wacky for me to...
No. I think you are completely right because you can observe that in the early 10s, you know, between 10 to 13 for the late bloomers. You start to pick up clothing and music and, you know, like a personality type. Like you are the... I always say that but before on this call, but why not repeat it? It's good always, I think. You are the surfer type, the goth type, the hip-hop type, the whatever type you choose, and it's always something that's pre-programmed, you know? But you go there because you are drawn to this or because some older cool kids are doing that, so you want to emulate them. But in the end, it's programming. So I think, of course, it go with your type of personality, but whatever you are choosing, mostly, because there are also some fringe way of living that are not under this control. But I think that you start to choose one when you are becoming in your early teen, I think.
Yep.
You pick up like a style, you go along with the guys that adopt this style, and unless there is some major event, like an horrible thing that happened in your circle, you will not really change that thing your life. You know, you will stop to paint your fingernails black because you think it's cool. Of course, you will stop that. You will stop to wear all dark clothes. But in the end, you will stick to the programming that was that you choose, that you willingly choose when you were young.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. I mean, I think you really have a good understanding of how we actually are just reacting, and then we can extract some choice here and there, and maybe choose a different path. But for the most part, those trails have already been blazed, and we're just on them.
Yes, we're rehashing what we think is the correct way of acting, depending on what we have chosen when we were younger and things like that. It's like me.
We're acting accordingly.
Exactly. I love to wear a certain type of clothing and that relate to the era I was brought in. And like my personality kind of started setting up when I was 10 to 12. I started to make my own choice. And the fad at the time was the large pants. And I always wear my pants a little bit larger than they should be.
Yeah, I don't know what to do now. I thought about getting some tighter pants, you know, and to be cool, because in a way, I just want to be cool, you know. Everybody's wearing tight pants, and I feel like my pants are 4 or 5 years old, but then I think, do I really need to do that to fit in? Yeah, to a certain degree, I think you do, or else you end up looking like a goof. Like, I see people that still wear Journey t-shirts, and it's like this 55-year-old guy still has a Journey t-shirt on, you know, Journey the band, and there are people that they still... And that's their choice. I get that. I'm not making fun of them. I just see culturally, it's just like really sad sometimes that a certain portion of our population still just identifies with things that are so silly.
To be honest, my girlfriend, she always brought me some clothes that are kind of trendy. And
yeah.
Those are getting tighter and tighter, to be honest, at this time.
Yeah. Yep, so, that's what I've noticed. I'm almost not comfortable. And if I get any more muscular in my shoulders, I'm going to have to, you know, I'm just kind of starting to feel
a little bit of muscle
now. I don't know. In like a couple months, I'm going to have to like get new damn shirts because I don't really like to be touched on my clothes. I just want to.
It's a cycle. If you watch closely, it's a cycle because if you look like the Beatles, not so much the Beatles because they were more clean cuts, but the Rolling Stone, I have read, a few months earlier, the autobiography of Keith Richards, and he was claiming to exchanging his pants with his girlfriend at the time. Mm-hmm. So it's like a cycle. It's like why care to bring something new to the masses if you can just recycle old things on and on, like every 20 to 30 years or so.
Yeah, I shop at Goodwill and other places, no problem. I find a lot of really nice things there, you know, so I... all kinds of great shoes lately, in the last year, that are all in amazing shape. Hey, but we're cracking up a little bit. I think it might be your mic. I'm not sure, because I'm sitting still and I'm not had any problems. I was wondering if Trip T could notice it.
I will try to stand a bit still.
It could be that. I'm not sure. I'm going to have to go out and get some pub fare without drinking the beer. But I quit drinking beer. I quit everything. I quit quitting too. So that's the best part. I'm just gonna go ahead.
I am currently running through a pack of cigarettes really quickly.
Jarrus, are you serious? Do they have natural cigarettes here? We have American Spirit, which is what I smoked for a long time.
I love, and that's a big part of conditioning. But I love the Lucky Strikes for a stupid reason. But I know, at least I know the reason. So.
I've never smoked a Lucky Strike, not once.
No, because in the old war movies, the Lucky Strike were the officer's cigarettes, you know? The private, they get the Winston, and the officer, they get the Lucky Strikes. And I remember in like 3 or 4 occasions in movies that some officer came by and threw a Lucky Strike back to the soldiers, and they were totally crazy. So when I started smoking, I immediately go to Lucky Strike. Because I thought that it was the cool guy, the elite cigarette, kind of.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I'll never smoke a cigarette again. Hey, you're not vaping that coconut oil, are you? Smoking your herb. You just use the natural herb, right? You don't use a vape with a coconut oil. That's the bad habit here in America. Everybody's vaping. They're sucking coconut oil down their lungs. Going down the car smoking dope, and you can just tell. You can go to a bar, and people are smoking pot inside the bar, vaping coconut oil. Like, how good is that going to be for your lungs? You know, like, you went from smoking cigarettes to vaping nicotine. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. But anyway.
Yes, in the end, if you really think about it, even inhaling water vapor is not good for you. You're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to inhale air. Now, if there is something else in the air, there is a problem. You can have different level of humidity, but to inhale smoke is not something that your lungs are designed for. And whatever type of smoke or vapor you are inhaling, it's not supposed to be in your lung, especially if it's loaded with chemicals.
And before I leave, I want to just remind everybody to listen to Fakeologist Radio, fakeologist.com. This is the live stream. I'm a Phoenician. This is Jarrett. From Switzerland, and I'm going to cut out, but I just do that remind you that if you're doing a chat, it's nice to reintroduce yourself. If you don't have your auto bumper, just introduce yourself every now and then, because people would like to bump through the talks. So if you fast forward and all of a sudden there's two guys from Australia that you've never heard, or there's somebody from Canada, or there's two Americans that sound alike, it's hard to pick up who's who. So every now and then, at least, I like to introduce myself again. So I'm going to head out for now, and you have a great night. I don't mean to be so abrupt leaving. I always enjoy talking to you, Jarris, and we'll do it again. Like, just let me know, and we'll get some more input. We can talk about health. We can talk about whatever. Just let me know ahead of time, and I'll prepare for it, and like to keep the broadcast with a certain level of quality, right? So it's been good, and appreciate your time. And thanks for stopping in, Trip T, and introduce yourself. So I'm going to head out.
Yes, that was great, and thank you very much to the Phoenician again for his great input. And I'm about to head out too, because I think that it was a two-hour-plus show, so I think it's good enough for Friday. And,
absolutely.
I don't
definitely
see the
good
point
enough.
Of the rambling too much, because to be honest, when I listen to a podcast, I don't listen to 4 to 5 hours. So I think I will leave it at that, and you have all been listening to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com. I was your main host for the moment, Garris, and I was with Phoenician, and we have a quick guest from Trift, and thanks again for everyone that listened and that will listen in the future. And don't hesitate to give us your input, and don't hesitate to support fakeologist.com as the bumper.
Join. Join and find Fakeologist. Come to Fakeologist, bring your own research, and enjoy. So we'll see you later, Jarris. Okay, thanks.
Okay, have a good night, everyone, okay. And bye-bye. Right. This has been the Fakeologist Radio show for the 10th to 11th of May, at least for me. So I am heading out, and have a great day, everyone, and see you soon. Bye-bye.
That's all, folks.